What's up? It's your girl Lo with Why So Serious Sports Vlog, where we're bringing you uncut, unfiltered, and raw sports commentary to a wide range of sports. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Why So Serious ATL. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at that same handle. You can go ahead and follow me, one of your hosts, at 404_my_city. We're bringing you, again, funny, raw, regal commentary to sports. Sports is not boring. It's fun and exciting. So why shouldn't the people that's reporting on it? So don't forget to follow us, shout us out, like and comment, and subscribe to everything. Thanks.
First of all, Jags fans need to shut the fuck up, because they told us that Blake Bortles was better than Matt Ryan. So
shout out to Freddie Beast on the Dish Podcast. What up, Freddie?
They need to stay in their lane and not try us again, because I'll see them at the Jags game this year.
I won't.
Let me tell you that right now.
Not because they get my money this year, dog. I'm sorry.
That was not talking spicy.
I mean, it is what it is. Yo, what's good? It's your boy, S3Report 706. This is the Dirty Bird Nation Report, the unofficial official podcast of Falcons Twitter. We have our usual suspects, our regular host, guest host. We have Jif Queen at Lethal Saint.
What?
Yes, Jif. It is pronounced Jif. No. The creator of the word said it's pronounced Jif, so it's Jif. We have the Twitter legend, Jalen Muhammad, and we have resident Colts expert / Closet Falcons fan, Marcus _ Sniffles. What's good, y'all?
I'm just
here to prosper. I just want to get my takes off. That's it. That's all I want to do. I got takes.
If your takes are anything that I just witnessed in this this chat we just did before we went live, then I don't want to hear them.
I got all the takes.
So
you relax.
So before we start, I was just asking the guys if they've seen the Joker movie. So I saw it yesterday, and the one thing that I can tie this into the Falcons podcast is that a lot of these fanatics out here are looking like these Joker people with clown masks on. Then they take them off and there's like clown makeup under their clown mask, because like the takes that I'm seeing on the Twitter sphere is, it's getting to the point where I understand why Gif Queen mutes and blocks people, because like people don't understand how football works, right? Like, fundamentally, it's a team game. This isn't like basketball where you have one or two players that can dominate or control the flow of the game. It is a group effort from the GM to the head coach, to the president, all the way down to the water boy. It is a team effort. It is not, you know, one insert offensive player or one insert defensive player that is causing this team's downfall. It is much bigger than that. We all know who I'm talking about. So I know I was talking to Jalen. For the offense, the one person that is bringing down the offense is Devontae Freeman, apparently, to people. And then on defense, the one person that's holding this defense back from being great is Vic Beasley.
I thought you were going to say Duke Riley.
Well, Duke Riley now plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's out there doing whatever they do out there in Philly. But it's just crazy to me how people watch sports or claim to watch sports, claim to understand football, but, you know, seem to have these trash takes. Like, everybody's like, oh, Vic Beasley didn't register any stats last week. You know, he's trash. Dan Quinn's going to lose his job because he bet on Vic Beasley. No, Dan Quinn is going to lose his job because, A, he bet on Steve Sarkisian. I keep saying that. He bet on Dirk Cotter.
That's part of it.
That is part of it, yeah. And then also he bet on himself to get this defense to where it needs to be, where it has looked good in pieces, but as a whole, it just, something ain't right.
Can we talk about Dirk Cotter for a minute?
Let's do that.
We'll get to him in 2 seconds. But again, I just don't get it. Like, Vic Beasley has played good up to the last game, but people still have this narrative that he's terrible, he's trash. Again, he's not worth 13 mil.
He's not.
Nobody's saying he was. I don't think, but like, they couldn't really afford to replace him. Like, even if you lowered his cap hole to like, let's say 6 mil, who are they gonna get? Everybody else was signed at that point.
We could have got a rental. I mean, come on.
You could have got a rental. What's the point of having a
blind man to come and play? Again,
so that's kind of my little intro. I know we want to talk about a little about Dirk Cotter, so I'll let a Colts expert.
Let's talk. We'll talk about the game first, and then we'll get into that guy. he who shall not be named. So, as we all, or everybody here, but I don't think Marcus or Giff saw it. Nope. You know, they got drubbed 47-32. I know we're 53, but I'm not counting that last pick six.
Oh, wait. Jalen, I was closest in the last podcast.
You
I said we lose.
See, I was gonna do the math on that, because you technically said we were gonna lose by like 70, and I said we were gonna lose by like 11. Technically, I was like closest, but I'll say you were just for GP.
That was
okay. Well, yeah, they got drubbed. Every part of that team failed this week. From the offense being completely inept at doing what it needed to do, and the defense being, how can I say this? Has anybody seen Blue's Clues? You know, when they're trying to find the clues around the map or whatever? Yeah, that's what they were. They were just not there the entire game. And then special teams. Like, they matter, but it wasn't really, they did what they had to do, or they did close enough to what they had to do. So, for anybody that did watch the game, how did you think about it?
I think Matt Ryan did a great job of shutting down Julio Jones in that game.
Here we go.
Well, okay. I think that would be more
anybody but you.
I think anybody Dirk Cotter did a great job of shutting down Julio Jones.
And anybody Calvin, but and Marcus.
So, yeah, again, just watching the game, it looked promising earlier when we finally got out to a decent lead. We were up, what, like 14-0?
Whoa. You trust us with a lead?
It was what, 7-6 or something like that? And then
Okay.
And then it was like 7-10, and then it was like 10, I don't know, some shit like that.
So, again, I didn't get my hopes up because, again, this Falcons team hasn't really showed us that they can finish a complete game. I knew the game was over on that third down, where your boy, the GOAT, Deshaun Watson, fumbled the ball, picked it up, and proceeded to rush for a first down on third and long. And I was like, yep, this is I see where this game is going, and it went downhill from there. That's unacceptable. It kind of reminded me of that one Jameis Winston play a couple years ago.
Oh, Lord.
Ran through the entire defense, like, for no reason. Like, I think that one might still be the GOAT Falcon play. Regular season play, but that Deshaun Watson.
Nah, Teddy Bridgewater had one. I think the year that Mike Smith got fired, where he literally like shook through the four tackles and then broke somebody's ankle for like a 3rd and 15 first down or some shit. That was the most pitiful display I've ever seen in my life. Deshaun Watson was kind of unlucky. Yes, he was a rookie.
Yep, that was embarrassing. What a game.
Deshaun Watson was kind of just unlucky, but it still shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. The fuck? All right, so yeah, after that play, I was like, that's a play that you have to make. Like, I don't understand how, and I'm sure one of the smarter guys broke this down on film. Shout out to Aaron Freeman and all the guys do the analytical reviews and the GIF breakdowns, but just me looking at the team from a supporter, not a fan. I like how Jalen, we linked up and we are Falcons supporters. I am not a fanatic. I'm not one of these crazy people on Twitter, but just looking at the game, it's like, yo, that is a play that has to be made. Like, we can't allow stuff like that happen. And just from there, it went downhill. Like, Isaiah Oliver is, I don't know what he's doing. Just the whole defense as a whole looks crazy. And I know I messaged Jalen saying, hey, even last year, and we were missing Keanu Neal, Ricardo Allen, and Debo. I don't think we gave up that many points in the game. Like, so how do we turn around next year with, you know, a better quote unquote coordinator, guy that put his nuts on the table and said, hey, I'm going to take over this defense, only missing one starter, and we just look like a badly coached middle school team?
You know, I'll even raise you on that. I think this is a better like defensive roster than it was last year, which is weird. Besides, obviously, aside from the cornerback two spot and potentially the nickel corner quarterback, then I think this was like overall just like a better like team, which doesn't explain why they're just being so awful this year.
Well, just sticking on the defense, just like you've seen flashes of what the defensive line has looked like and what we can do, like as far as getting things done, stopping the run, and getting some pressure sometimes, but we just can't finish. Like, I don't understand. It's just not making any sense, man. Like, I think that maybe I feel like this situation where, you know, Dan Quinn kind of maybe bit off more than he can chew, deciding to coach just the defense, even though in theory that sounds like it would be less work and less responsibility. But ultimately, he's still the head coach. There's other things that he has to do and manage. But man, this is what you do. This is your specialty, and you're not looking good at all.
I mean, like, what other? It's crazy. If his responsibility is the defense, then you have to be able to trust your offensive coordinator to handle everything else.
Wait, to be fair, like, I'll let you continue that in a second. But I feel like when he said he was going to coach like the defense, he's going to call the plays, but he's not really like coordinating anything. I think he really just wanted to work on the D line, because I think that's where he spent 99.7% of his time over the offseason, was dealing with the D line, which is obviously where it needs to be, because our D line has not been good for a very long time now, even though they've invested like high, well, not high, they've invested two high-ish picks on it. And I think that's where he like put most of his bread into. Everything else is just like, this is why he has so many coordinators on there. He has like a passing game, an assistant passing game. He has a linebackers coach, an assistant linebackers, an assistant to the assistant linebackers coach. Like, he had a bunch of coaches on his staff, and he added another one, which you would think would help him out. So I don't know really how much of that is like his fault. Now, don't get me wrong, I want them all gone, but I don't know how much of that is really like his fault. There's only so much you can do.
Well, but the thing is, with obviously with a lot of fans from the media, it's all about the perception. Because even if it's not his fault, he's the one that has all these assistants and coordinators, the narrative is that Dan Quinn took over the defense and the defense is not improved. And again, this is a franchise that, you know, with all the PSL issues, with a lot of the true fans, true natives from Atlanta, feeling like they've been outpriced to watch and support their team. And even the people that are paying that money are like, yo, we're not paying these PSLs to watch this team get beat like this. So it increasingly the fans are starting to get to Arthur Blank. And again, like, it might not be all his fault, but there's at some point going to have to be a sacrificial lamb if you're not getting what you can get out of this roster. A roster that has been, again, the media, I feel, is to blame for a lot of this. They've kind of overrated.
Yeah.
Put together, and people just drank the Kool-Aid up, like, oh, the Falcons, we got this great receiving core, we drafted two rookie linemen, DQ's calling the defense, we should be a shoe-in to be in the Super Bowl and make the playoffs. And I'm not saying that we don't have the talent to be a playoff caliber team, but for whatever reason, that talent is not being utilized. Like, just looking at the other side of the ball, the Texans, I was like, okay, they have Nuke. Nuke is great. DeAndre Hopkins is a great receiver. Then you have Will Fuller, who apparently he's fast, really good.
He's actually really good. He was actually one of the people that I wanted them to take in the draft that he was in, just because we didn't have really a speed guy. And he's probably one of the best speed guys in the league, if not Tyreek Hill. So I wasn't really worried about him, like, because I knew he was going to get his, because he's actually every time that he's played in their offense, they've been so much better, because Deshaun plays like he does. He plays for the big play. He plays for the explosive play almost like every time, which is why he's always taking so many sacks, along with his line being trash. But he's really, really good.
Okay, let's flip that. So if you flip the sides of the bar, flip teams, we have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, and then the supporting cast with Sanu and Austin Hooper and those guys. So you mean to tell me that they can figure out ways to get the scheme open their second wide receiver, Will Fuller, and I mean comparably, I think they both run 4.4s or 4.3s, right? Calvin Ridley and Fuller, correct?
Fuller's a little bit faster, but it's like 10. This is semantics. It's not much.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they can find ways to scheme their second guys open, and then Nuke still get his, but we can't find a way to get Sanu, Julio, Calvin, Devontae Ball. We can find a way to get Hooper the ball. Like, he's the offense clearly runs through him with our coordination, but like, it's very sad. Like, I'm getting roasted by my friends that are Jags fans saying like, oh, the Falcons need to get rid of Matt Ryan. He's been there 12 years. They ain't won shit. I'm like, I'm just at the point now where I don't talk to people that don't understand how football works. They just want to take the hot takes. It's like Matt Ryan's not back there covering. Again, Matt Ryan is not faultless. But again, the issues that we're having is like people not using the weapons they have. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't make sense not to have those people and to find ways to be creative to get them the ball or find matchups or do something.
Well, this is a coordinator that I was told that Matt Ryan is comfortable with because he was the coordinator previously, like, what, 4 years ago? He had this same coordinator. And it's like, how is it that you have a coordinator that you're comfortable with, that you've worked with before, and either the coordinator's not on the same page or the offense or the quarterback isn't on the same page, but there's no reason Julio Jones shouldn't have 8 catches a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have Calvin Ridley. That man had 10 touchdowns last year. He's a great number. Like, if Calvin Ridley's your second best receiver and you have Hooper out there, you should be able to get these guys the ball. Devontae Freeman is a very versatile tailback. Like, he can run the ball, he can catch the ball. Like, how do you – it's almost like you gave – a 5-year-old a Ferrari, and he just doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't know how to drive a stick.
Giff, yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
It's ridiculous. I mean, first of all, Jags fans need to shut the fuck up because they told us that Blake Bortles was better than Matt Ryan. So
shout out to Freddie Beast on the Beast Plus podcast. What up, Freddie?
They need to stay in their lane and not try us again, because I'll see them at the Jags game this year.
They won't.
Let me tell you that right now.
How could they get my money this year, dog? I'm
they'll
sorry.
Be lucky. They'll be lucky if I even turn on the Jags game. That's going to suck. Like,
listen, and that's if Jalen decides to come back to their little team. So don't get me started on them. But there is no reason that our offense – with the weapons that we have, should be looking like it's looking. And y'all also told me that y'all were comfortable with Dirk. And I was like, why would we bring back somebody that we fired? Like, I wouldn't bring somebody that I fired back on this podcast. So I wouldn't do the same thing.
Wow. Stop.
Yikes.
Oh, did I say something? Yikes. Not really, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyways, I don't know why we brought him back. We fired him. I'm pretty sure he was a coordinator for our 4-12 seasons.
Well, he didn't get fired. He was not retained after the offensive lineman apocalypse that happened in that season. So.
The same difference. Let go, fired. It's the same.
He wasn't good. I think he got a lot of credit where it didn't need to be, if that makes sense. He was playing, obviously, offenses change literally every year. They change drastically from year to year. Like last year, until Kyle Shanahan did what he did with our offense that year, you weren't seeing people run stuff like that as much. Now everybody does it. And Dirk has just not adapted to the way that offense plays now, like at all.
Right. Even Sark kind of figured it out. So that's saying something.
That's really
like, Dirk,
something.
What are you doing? Like,
I don't even know if Sark really just figured it out, because my problem with Sark was he didn't know how to like scheme off of things. He'll just throw something at the wall and be like, okay, you go 15 yards deep and you go 10 and at the same side and see if it'll work.
Yeah, and then when he first started
if
that
he did that, if he did that and it worked and he'll be like, all right, then we'll run that a little bit later and we'll put that in the back pocket. But we're not going to like, hey, let's run that same exact thing, but have somebody go over the top, and that'll be wide open. Like he didn't do that. He just kind of, you know, mixed up. He just kind of threw some stuff together.
Right.
The most disappointing thing about like this offense, like y'all brought back someone that Matt Ryan is familiar with, so it shouldn't take long for him to figure out the offense. But you have an offense that is led by an MVP quarterback. He's been an All-Pro. I'm pretty sure he's been a Pro Bowler. Devontae Freeman, in my book, he's a top 10 running back. Julio Jones is a top 3 wide receiver. Calvin Ridley's probably a top 5 number 2 wide receiver. Hooper is a good young tight end. There's no reason that offense, regardless of what the defense is doing, there's no reason that that team should only put up 20 points a game. Right? That's not even a touchdown a quarter. And if you look at that offense and you think, how, like, let me just name some teams that score more points a game than the Falcons. The Jacksonville Jaguars put up more points than the Jaguars, or put more points up on average more than the Falcons do. The Colts, the Carolina Panthers with a rookie quarterback, Dallas Cowboys, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like, and the number two scoring offense in the NFL, San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, we lit, baby.
Yeah, about that.
We'll get to that in a second, because that ties into another one of my points. But real quick, I want to shout out Anime Dunn, who's in the live stream. Shout out to her, one of my anime homies from Twitter. She's rocking with us, so appreciate you supporting the stream. So to the narrative with Dirk Cotter. So I was talking to Jalen on Twitter, and I guess one of the things with people on Twitter with sports is, like, everybody wants to be right. Like, people want to be validated or vindicated by their takes or opinion to make them make themselves sound maybe smarter than they are. Because, again, even with the experts at ESPN, all these major networks, you're essentially guessing with these players, like with the draft. It's a crapshoot. Honestly, somebody from the street would probably have, well, not from the street, but I'm sure, like, some of the people from Twitter, like Jalen and them, could have a pretty decent chance at making a good draft class or picking a productive draft class. So what I will say is, I was one of the people that had that same mindset with Dirk Cotter. That in my head, it's like, all right, cool. Instead of bringing in somebody brand new to learn a whole new system, like, this would be Matt's, what, fifth or sixth new system. In my head, I'm like, hey, it makes sense to bring in somebody that he's familiar with to kind of, you know, shorten the learning curve, if that makes sense. In theory, that should work, right? But like Jalen said, the league has changed. Right. He's not adapting to what is going on around him in the league. And he's kind of still living back in the past. So even though they are comfortable, he's not, I guess, creative enough to scheme the tools that he has around him, all the great weapons, to be productive. And that's kind of one of the things that kind of I opened my eyes to this year. And again, because I'll never say that I'm the expert or know much about a lot of some of the intricacies of the game. I try to learn as I go. But the yeah, looking at what Kyle Shanahan did with the Falcons and what Dirk Cotter and Steve Sarkisian couldn't do directly points to, hey, these guys matter. Like, being creative and innovative matters. Being able to get your guys out of there matters.
My favorite tweet that I sent out on that entire day of the Texas game was, I think I said, and I quote, "If I can see every route that you just ran on the screen with the camera angles that we had, then you're doing something wrong." It was like 3rd and 8, and I swear they all just ran comebacks and curls. Like,
that's those are Madden plays. Shout out to KingQuest710 jumping the stream. He wants to know about the defense. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, yeah, trust me, we lighting their ass up.
I have no problem admitting that I was wrong about that. I'm not understanding now that having creative minds and great coordinators matter. I just thought that, hey, you have these guys. How hard is it to get them open and give them plays? Like, it doesn't make any sense. I know Jalen mentioned, I believe, last week, and I even thought the same thing. So if we're going to do Madden plays, right? Like you said, run Calvin Ridley on drags. Run Julio on drags. That should be an easy 8 to 10 yards every play. Like, just get him matched on one-on-one, let him burn somebody across the field, drop it off to him, and go upfield. Like, how hard is stuff to do like that? I see other teams do it. Like, why can't we do simple things like that are effective with all of these weapons?
It don't even have to be, like, something, like, super, like, intricate and, like, exotic. Kyle Shanahan did the simplest thing ever, and it literally made an EVS touchdown. Yeah, I know I bring him up a lot, but it didn't make any sense. He literally just motioned. He motioned like three people on the left, and then he moved the tight end back inside, right? Then he motioned the fullback from the right back to the left so he could see what that safety was going to do. As soon as they snapped the ball, that safety had to guard two people, and the tight end was wide open in the end zone. All he had to do was fit the throw in a easy ass throw, and it was a touchdown. I was like, bro, that isn't even hard. I could tell you what's going to happen right there. Then come on now.
look, and even I've been able to tell when we're about to run the ball because he takes all the major wide receivers out of the game. So I know we're about to run. And if I know we're about to run, then they for sure know we're about to run. And that's why Freeman can't get anywhere. And everybody's like, Freeman sucks. It's like, no. They know
he just sucks, bro.
So they're going to stop him because Julio's out, Calvin's out, Hooper's out, everybody's out except for a couple of blocking tight ends and Freeman. So they know we're running. Like, that's why Freeman hasn't been able to go anywhere. So Dirk just needs to get his shit together, long story short, or get off this team. That's about it on the offense. Yeah. I'm tired of it.
So just sticking on the offense, I do want to get to the Freeman conversation in a second. But just to kind of squash a bit of the narrative. So, again, Marcus, he was mentioning that Calvin Ridley's probably one of the top five, number two guys.
Probably the third best number two in the league, I would say.
Okay. So, again, we say that, but he's not being utilized to his potential, which is kind of hurting that.
That's Dirk's fault. I mean,
it is. But so, and this is one of the things that I saw last year. So again, he had 10 touchdowns his rookie year. All right. But you got the first two games, he had one touchdown. Then he went three games without a touchdown. He had a touchdown. He went another two games without a touchdown, had a touchdown. Went four.
He had like a three.
Went another three games without a touchdown, had two, three, one. And then the last game of the season, he had zero. So for whatever reason, whether it's his player, their ability to get him in the game or get him involved, he's a bit streaky, which, again, I don't understand how that works, but you should be able to find ways to get that man the ball.
I don't know if I'm willing to take that he is streaky, because I know against the Colts, he was only targeted one time.
He was targeted once. So y'all, and no offense to you, like the Colts, and I actually really like the Colts, like most of their team, but their DBs suck compared to like the talent that the Falcons had. There was no way that Calvin really shouldn't have had at least 80 yards and a touchdown that
game. There's no excuse for Calvin Ridley to be targeted one time. Like Calvin Ridley is good enough to be like, all right, he might be covered one-on-one, but I trust him to win a 50-50 ball. Like, he's good enough for that.
Yeah.
Like,
and
one target, like that's something you do for your number four receiver who you're like, let's just see if he could do something with it. Like, Calvin Ridley is a Pro Bowl talent, and for him to go through a game with one target and zero catches, that's on the quarterback and that's on the offensive coordinator. Like, that's just
it's on Dirk and me.
I wouldn't say it's even the quarterback at that particular instance.
I would put it more on the quarterback because he's not even looking at him.
Yeah, but
if the play is dictated to go to a certain place, then you know what I'm saying. Like
I always say, like on Twitter and on here, coverage dictates where the ball goes, and they don't really run Julio and Calvin together as much as they definitely should. So when Calvin's on the field and Julio's not, they're going to add another safety over the top, especially against the Colts when they have Malik Hooker, who can pretty much erase all that because he's extremely good and extremely fast. So he was definitely – they shaded coverage toward him. So then you have to rely on the Austin Hooper and the
Luke.
All right, yeah, he shouldn't get another catch the rest of the year. But, like, Austin Hooper pretty much ate that game. Julio ate that game towards the middle parts and end of it. And it just be like that sometimes. Like, I want to say that's Matt Ryan's fault. Matt Ryan obviously is not abstained from blame. He's missed a couple of throws. He's missed a couple of wide-open things. But I want to say that's, like, his fault. Because even if he does look for him, if the ball is not going to be there, there's no point in wasting time with a makeshift off of the line trying to force the ball to somebody. Unless it's Julio. But
and I think that might be the case. So just real quick to close out the Calvin Ridley thing. So Marcus, with the target thing, he's never – the entire season last year, he had more than 10 targets in a game one time. And that was on a loss to New Orleans. Like, through the season last year, targets 5, 5, 7, 4, 5, 13, 4, 5, 9, 6, 3, 5, 6, 8, 4, and 2. In the infamous game where he had 3 touchdown receptions, 7 for 8, 146 receiving, we lost that game in overtime. So the one game that he actually balled out, we lost. Yeah.
He's not, he's not really, I don't even know if it's, if you could like, he's more of, how do I say, he's more of like the big play compliment, if that makes sense. Like, I would oftentimes expect Mohamed Sanu to get more catches than him, just because Mohamed Sanu is going to be the easy safety valve. He's going to get you to 5 or 6 yards, so he'll probably get like, you know, 5 to 7 targets, and Ryan trusts him a lot. And considering the fact that Calvin really doesn't really make contested catches, like, he's not really known for that. He's not going to catch many balls, like, if somebody's draped over him. But you kind of have to scheme him open, but he can beat any kind of, like, man coverage, like, pretty often.
Yes, but there's no reason on this earth that Luke is in a game than Calvin. And that has happened, I think, 2 times this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's insane.
Yeah, like, I think Luke had 4-1 game, and Calvin either had none or zero. One or no targets. That's unacceptable. And we know, because Mike, the tight ends coach, is Dirk's boy. So, you know, he's trying to make his little tight end.
What a load of malarkey.
Yeah, and we don't have time for that.
Wow. This is what this podcast has come down to. Fucking Mike Malarkey.
Every time his name comes up, I have to say, because it is just a load of fucking malarkey. That entire like offensive room needs to just get wiped into existence.
Yeah, shout out to Matt Ryan for getting him and Dirk Cotter jobs. I don't know how.
That's Mike crazy.
I don't know how he finessed it again. I don't know how
Matt Ryan has gotten everybody jobs.
Malarkey finessed the head coaching job in Jacksonville, where they went 2-14, I believe, and then flipped that up to a job in Tennessee, like, where they weren't good either. Like, I don't know how that works, but shout out to Matt. I hope he's getting cut of those checks. But let's go to Devontae Freeman. So the Browns played the 49ers, and your boy Tevin Coleman, who has been injured, I think, since week 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he had a high ankle sprain.
Yeah. And he came out, and I saw the timeline kind of blowing up, talking about like, oh, let me read these tweets, because y'all know where I'm going with this, but let's go to the Falcons Twitter. Blue Reaper 1914, his name is Fire Dan Quinn, Fire Dirk Cotter, and Thomas Dimitrov. He tweeted out, "We wave Coleman to keep. Never mind. Angry face. Angry face. Angry face." So that's factually inaccurate. We didn't waive him. We just didn't re-sign him. Yeah. Let's see what other Coleman anarchy was on here. Your boy, Lieutenant Dan, he posted Tevin Coleman, but I was told he's not as good as Freeman, that he cannot run like Freeman or is as explosive as Free, with a laughing frog gif.
Wait, didn't he say
that
Freeman was the better back, though, like multiple times?
Because Freeman is the better back.
So why did he tweet that?
You know, the Tevin Coleman hive is still out there. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was still a thing, but I mean, God bless him. But
Dan did say that, so I'm just a little confused as to why he tweeted that. That's all I'm asking.
Again, my thing is, like, it's revisionist history. We can't pretend that Tevin didn't have the opportunity to be the number one guy in Atlanta when Free went down.
Facts.
I think he had one 100-yard rushing game. And I'm not going to say that's all on him.
Nah, you want to hear the crazy part about that 100-yard rushing game? Is he had, like, 50 of those on 2 runs.
Yeah, and that goes to another point. A lot of people were trying to use, and this goes with E.O. Smith, with the whole yards per carry. So, again, a shout out to Aaron Freeman. Yards per carry is a fake stat. You cannot use that to judge the ability of a running back, because, again, one long run can make you look great. Like, oh, he averaged 10 yards per carry, but he broke, like, a 90-yard run and then got shut down the rest of the game. Like, that, you know, shit happens. But, yeah, people were all up in arms because Tevin Coleman was looking good, right? Great. So this is the point where they pick on Devontae Freeman and say that he's the reason the Falcons aren't good, the offense is bad, we should have kept Coleman, blase, blase, blase. But, again, they neglect every other player on the Falcons that hasn't looked good since the departure of Kyle Shanahan. So, again, everybody looked good when we had Shanahan, not just Freeman, right? are not just Tevin Coleman, and they were actually being utilized a little bit better. But also, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. And I saw this hype. And I was like, okay, let me go check this out. So Tevin Coleman had 16 rushes for 97 yards, 6.1 yards to carry, one touchdown, and a long of 19, right? The starter, Matt Breida, had 11 carries, 114 yards, averaged 10.4 yards to carry.
He had one
touchdown, and he had an 83-yard run.
Yeah, I bet it's his. So he had 10 for like 31 yards. So he averaged 3.1 yards per carry after that.
Yeah, so again, you subtract like the longest run, correct? Something like that. But my point is, you guys are getting hyped over one game, right? One game of Tevin Coleman, where apparently I could have rushed for 100 yards against the Browns. They are terrible.
I don't think it's that, because the Browns defense is actually like really, really good. They're actually extremely. They were without their two like best cornerbacks, but their defensive line is like, if we had the defensive line here in Atlanta, I don't think we'd be having a lot. We'd clear a lot of defensive problems. Their defensive line, like linebackers, are actually really freaking good.
Well, that's fine, but that night they weren't, right?
That night they weren't, but you can't really blame them. They were going against the best offensive coordinator in the league, man.
And again, that ties back to the point with isolating one player for all the blame. Tevin Coleman did not look good under Steve Sarkisian, whether it is he wasn't being used right, the scheme wasn't well, whatever it was. It's still the facts. You can't just have like all these hot takes off of one game that, oh, we should have kept Coleman, because if he was here right now, he'd probably look just as bad as Freeman does, because there's nowhere to go.
Right.
Offensive lines matter, guys. Schemes matter. Like, I don't understand like where this is coming from. It just proves that people do not like watch football or pay attention to stuff. They just want to get their hot takes off on Twitter.
You know, Falcons fans are very dramatic. But you know, King Quest, do you see what he said in the chat? He said the whole O-line is out on the running plays, which appears to be true. There's nobody helping our run game get going on that field. Yeah. But blame free, because that's the easiest thing to do.
I think it's time to start being honest about this franchise and who is heading this thing. I kind of feel like we're just dancing around this topic, and I feel like Falcons fans do the same thing, where it's just like, all right, well, let's blame Kyle Shanahan not being here. Let's blame Steve Sarkisian. Let's blame Devontae Freeman. Let's blame the defense. Let's blame the coach. Let's fire the coordinators. At some point, people need to start looking at Arthur Blank. This dude's asleep at the wheel.
Get him out of here.
Hang on a second. Who is in charge of doing all these hirings and firings and all the things that y'all are blaming the players and coaches for? Who is in charge of all that?
Blank is in charge of it?
I'm not
I understand what you're saying.
Not Arthur Blank that's in charge. The person that he left in charge to do that, Thomas Dimitroff.
Let us speak.
At some point, you got to get rid of that GM. And the only reason that he's not getting rid of that GM is because that GM's first pick was Matt Ryan. So if you get rid of that GM, you got to get rid of Matt Ryan too. So at some point,
Marcus, hang on a second, answer the question though. Are GMs and
quarterbacks usually linked together? If you're in your first year as a GM and your first pick as a quarterback, are your 10 years with that team usually not tied together? That's normally how it goes in the NFL. In the NFL, there's always times where like a quarterback's been there for 3 years and then a new GM comes up.
I see where you're going. Jalen, what is your response?
I understand what he was saying. About the Arthur Blank thing, but you can't really blame Arthur for that, because the first, what, three seasons of every head coach he's hired beside Petrino, haven't they like had a winning record the first like four or so seasons? They've actually been really good. So obviously the hires weren't bad. It's just what they did after that, which would then go down to Dimitrov. But then with this part, I don't know about what happened with Mike Smith and them, but Dimitrov is more of a talent acquisition than he is a scout, if that makes sense. You tell him what you want and he tries to get it. He doesn't even have control of this roster low key. Like, he literally, they have already said that Dan Quinn is the sole person behind the roster. He's the one that drafts the players. He's the one that picks people off the street and what they need and everything. So that's the only thing I'm advocating for Dimitrov. I think his time here has run his course, but I don't think that has anything to do with Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan, you don't your future Hall of Fame quarterback just because you're firing GM. That is blasphemous.
All right, Giff, what's your take?
See, Breeze, that's what you get for not muting his mic when we told you to mute his mic.
He had some points for a second. Then that last and
he takes a mile. He goes the mile.
I'm just here to keep y'all accountable. That's all.
Okay, Giff, give me your takes, Giff. Give me your take.
Okay, so I think TD should have been gone with Mike Smith.
I 100% agree.
Like, I thought, like, when Mike Smith left, I was like, all right, bet TD's gone too. Psych. He's still here. Like, I was like, what the fuck?
I mean,
like,
even with that, didn't Dan Quinn say he wanted to keep Thomas Dimitrov?
We're not listening to Dan Quinn anymore, okay? Till he can get his defensive play calling together,
Finish your take. All
right. Yeah, TD should have been gone then, and no. Matt Ryan should not go at TD, you know, even though Arthur clearly seemed to be trying to get Watson, our former ball boy, as the backup quarterback before the Houston's game. Did y'all see that? He was like, yeah, come back to the team so we could appease the black people in Atlanta that miss Mike Vick.
Wait, who said that?
You didn't see Arthur Blank talking to Watson?
No, he was talking to Watson because they have history. They know each other, blah, blah, blah. There was no mention of quarterback. There was no reason for that. They have history. Watson. They know each other. They're happy for his success. That's it.
It's not going to happen. Okay, so my take to that is I do agree that Blank is, again, he's the owner of the team. He kind of ultimately makes all the big decisions, right? And again, I
don't think so. Not anymore.
Let me get my take off. So I do understand the whole thing with when you get a new GM, they want to bring in a whole new staff, a whole new mantra, probably bring in different, you know, maybe different schemes or whatever. The only thing that I would disagree with you is, as far as bringing in a new quarterback with a new GM, is that if the quarterback was not serviceable, was not good. Serviceable is being, you know, is lightly putting it. But if you're going into a situation where you have a new GM and, like, your quarterback is, like, let's say Andy Dalton or something like that, then, okay, yeah, it's time that we can reset and be fine. But the difference is, like, if Andy Dalton was a free agent and Matt Ryan was a free agent, one of those two guys is going to get a job as a starter. You know what I'm saying? So it's not to the point where Matt Ryan is like, hey, he's not got it no more. Like, he is falling off the cliff. He can't complete passes anymore. It's not that type of situation.
And this isn't an indictment on Matt Ryan. This is more of like, if you look at this roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many drafts do you think it would take for this roster to become a win now roster?
That was a question I was going to ask Aaron Freeman if I do his fan talk. Honestly, and again, it depends, because there's some people like himself that don't think it is necessarily a draft thing. It's a free agent problem. That with some
I would say one and a free agent fee.
You think they can turn this Falcons roster around in one draft?
We've already turned
one draft
and
a free agent fee. Right. This roster doesn't need much. They literally need.
It doesn't at all.
If they tank out this year, they can pretty much get everything they need immediately. They need an impact pass rusher. You can get that with a high pick, which they have been lacking the last four seasons. Impact pass rusher, please. him or some other people. We'll talk about that later on. But Chase Young, you need an impact pass rusher. Check. Let's say you got that. You have an excellent number two, Tack McKinley, right there. You have a stud defensive tackle right there. You pair him with somebody else. Doesn't matter who. Give him somebody who can pass rush or somebody who can run.
If you don't get Chase Young, I like Derek Brown from Auburn. He looked like an animal inside. So
he's decent. He looks straight.
He looks straight.
He's all right. Yeah, he's all right. And I would pick him in like the third round.
If you get the second overall,
it depends on who's here. Because like I said, Dimitrov doesn't really, you know, make those decisions as the coach, and we've known that for the last six seasons. Mm-hmm. But again, okay, you don't really need much on this roster. You need an impact pass rusher, because that's what they've been lacking this entire forever. They have not had a really good pass rusher since John Abraham. That was in 2010. You need depth along the defensive line. You have decent depth right now, but you need good depth. And then after that, you can pretty much just roll with what you have. Another year, second cornerback spot. You probably need a new safety, because I don't know how well Keanu is going to come back from the second injury. I hope he comes back really well, because I really like him. But after that, no other part of your defense really needs to be like massively upgraded for you to win. And then at that point, it just gets to coaching.
Yes, because you that's really just all rush. If you have the talent, it's just not being manifested.
If y'all trust the people that have been making the decisions the last 4 years to find those players, then go ahead. But I mean,
they found the players a lot of the time. The only thing they struggle with has been manifesting pass rush. They've invested in it. They've found decently good pass rushers. They just haven't found the pass rusher. If Tack comes alive, is probably best as like a secondary rusher or a second side, probably the third best defensive tackle in the league. Everybody else on that team is probably best as a complimentary piece, which is fine. They've literally had one top 10 pick the last six seasons. One. And it was on Vic Beasley, who had that 1 year. And he's probably best as a secondary rusher / a linebacker. We can go talk about Vic being a linebacker whenever, but that's probably his best role. If you find a good pass rusher, and then even that is hard because you're going into the draft where you don't know what's going to happen, which is going along to what Aaron said, which is probably a free agency thing. But you can't really do free agency if you have all these good players you have to pay. Good players that you have to pay? Because you're drafting well.
I'm hoping it's one of those situations. And again, this is a bit of a reach because we didn't have a Hall of Fame level defenders on our team like this team had. But I'm hoping this is a situation, if things go the way that it's looking, that it's one of those things where we kind of like how Tampa Bay was, where they got rid of Tony Dungy and then the old Chuckster came in and won with that team or whatever. I'm hoping it's a situation like that. Because, again, the cupboard it's not bare. It needs a couple more plates and cups and stuff like that. But there's somebody right now that's salivating, looking at this team, this roster, saying, like, damn, I could do some things with this. I just need a chance. And that's who I want. I don't want to retread. I don't want Mike Tomlin. I don't want none of these guys. I want somebody that's hungry and young and fresh and innovative.
Don't give me Mike Tomlin.
That's what the buzz is right now. It's like, oh, who says no to Mike Tomlin? Me. That's the same thing we already did. We don't want retreads. Just give us some new guys that want a chance to make an impact. Because at the end of the day, at least you're getting fresh ideas. Like, if you get Mike Tomlin, like, we've seen his resume. We see what he can do, what he can't do. Might as well roll the dice for something.
Mike Tomlin would be the most accomplished coach ever to coach in Atlanta, though, right? Like, who in Atlanta's history has had a better coaching
career? I mean, that's fine. What does that do for the future of that team? I mean, yeah. What is he doing? What has he done the last four seasons?
Mike Tomlin's not an old man. Like, he's still a young guy. Like, he's on his first head coaching job. So it's not like he's not like Tom Coughlin or something like that. Like, he's not Dirk Carter, who's not going to evolve with the game. Like, he's a solid young coach still.
He hasn't evolved yet.
He has evolved. Like, what do you mean?
I just don't think that.
He's on his third string quarterback and lost an All Pro wide receiver and running back. Like, he's kind of in the same situation as, well, not even. He's in a worse situation than Atlanta is. Like, he's lost his best players.
We just aren't looking for him. We're not here for him to y'all be just, in Atlanta.
Y'all just don't want black people in any leadership
position. No.
Y'all can't have a black quarterback or a black coach.
Jeez. That's what the kids call cap. That's cap. We are looking. A lot of people are interested in the OC for Kansas City, who is African American. So let's relax.
But
shout to Josh, aka Uncle Ruckus. But
you already know. To me and many logical fans, we've been a win now team since the Super Bowl. We just don't have competent people out here calling the plays for us to get there. And then last year, of course, we were injured. You know, all those fucking injuries didn't help at all. But we've been a win now team. Like, and that's why most of us fans and as a half PSL owner, like, we're so frustrated because we have all the players that we need. Like, pretty much we have like 95% of the players that we need to win a Super Bowl, and it's just not happening. So it's hella frustrating, and the players are booing and they're walking out of the game and they're not giving their money to the team anymore and trying to sell their tickets because we know what these players can do. Like, we've seen it. We've literally seen them be at their best. And then now they're literally at their worst. All over the board, from the water boy to the president. You know, it's horrible and it's really frustrating. So, yeah, we've been a win now team. We're a win now team now. It's just that we don't have competent enough coordinators to get things done for us. Like, other players on other teams are literally laughing at us on Twitter saying that our defense is vanilla and how they can see the play with their eyes closed. They can be Ray Charles and know what the defense is about to do. So it's ridiculous. Are we going to get into the defense now?
Arthur Blank is like, he's letting a four-year-old drive a Ferrari. That's what he's doing with this team.
Okay, well, shout to KingQuest710. He said that we need an offensive head coach and a good DC. And my counter to that is what the homie on Twitter, Eric Robinson, said. He said, to be quite honest, it doesn't matter if you have an offensive-minded head coach or a defensive-minded one. In today's league, you just need a well-rounded staff. That's how you win ball games and championships. And I do agree with that.
See, I kind of agree. But uh-oh. I know where you're going.
I know you're going with being innovative.
No, but not really that. It's more along the lines of if you have like a really good strength, like let's say your strength is your offense, like the Falcons was when they went to the Super Bowl. You didn't even really need good coordinators. You just need like people that you need your strength to be your strength and not sell out your team. And the way that it's going now, you kind of need more strength than defense, because as we see in Minnesota, your strength can be your team, but when it's time to put up points, your defense can't be on the field the entire game. They'll eventually figure it out.
That's true.
Oh, we can all agree it's time to clean house at the end of the season, though, right? Like, from the GM down, it's time to clean it out.
No.
As soon as I heard that Dan Quinn said that they wanted to be a run first team, I was ready to clear house. So
I mean, at some point it's just like, okay, how many more people are you going to blame for your team's failures? Because it's like he fired his defensive coordinator, and then he's like, okay, I'm going to start calling the defense. I'm a defensive coach. This is what I'm going to do. And it's not that the defense didn't improve. The defense got worse. And it's like, it's very bad. So at this point, it's like, all right, who do you blame now? We're like, who else is there to look to? You got to look in the mirror at some point. And then, and for me, if you either got to fire the GM and the head coach, at the bare minimum, you got to get that GM out of there. At the bare minimum.
Yeah, TD needs to go. I think I'm still not 100% sold on Dan Quinn, the head coach, getting out. Dan Quinn, the DC, yes, get the fuck out. But the head coach, I'm still not 100% sold on getting him out. If Dirk can't turn around the offense, yes, he also needs to go, for sure. So,
well, what is turning around? Because shout out to the Fit Game homie, I'm good at math, Cedric. He's like, he posed the question, what if the Falcons catch fire? And I'm like, the Falcons have already caught fires, the flaming dumpster fire. That's the fire that we caught. Like, this shit is crazy. It's out of control. But to your point, to his,
they don't need
his
to win.
Question,
they're going to. I'm sorry.
They're going to piss us off. They're going to win. Let me tell you what games we're probably going to win. We're probably going to win the Seahawks game. We're probably going to win the Rams game.
Please.
No, I'm saying because, you know, no. Hold on. Y'all know how we like to win against really good teams that we're not supposed to win against. That's like our thing. And y'all know this. So y'all already know that we will surprisingly win against good teams. Like, we beat the Eagles. And we're probably going to with Seahawks and Rams.
They're a good team? Shoot, I don't know. They look kind of crazy, but
The Saints game,
they have
game, we might
major holes.
What?
I could definitely see them winning like two of the next three games and then winning like four of the last six games and pissing me the fuck off. Like,
okay,
that is very, very, very on the table. I don't hope it happens. I don't think it's even likely to happen, but I can absolutely see it happen because that's the way the stupid ass team works.
Yeah, that's how we work. That's how we operate. Like, I know people are probably listening to this pissed off, but y'all know it's true. That is how we do. We found them.
Well, back to his question, I don't even know if there's a type of fire that they could catch that could save these people's jobs. Like, it would have to be, again, the Falcons are known for doing unprecedented things. So, again, anything is possible. But it would have to turn around, like, it had to be like the Falcons scoring like 40 points a game type turnaround, like some shit we've never ever seen in NFL history. And what do you think the odds of that are happening? I think it's slim to none. So again,
here's something crazy. I can see that happening, and then them giving Dirk Carter the head coaching job for the next like two seasons.
Oh my god!
I told you what happened if that if he even touches the interim head coaching spot, the head coaching spot, I'm out. I'm out.
Oh my god.
And again, I don't think that's possible. So again, I don't think there's nothing, any fire that can be caught that's going to save their jobs. I think that again, like Jalen said, kind of the best worst possible outcome is that they will look scrappy and win games and, you know, be entertaining or whatever the fans want, which is I'm talking to this dude on Twitter right now. And he's kind of like, you know, hey, you know, you'd rather the team give up or blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dog, are you not watching these games? I'm like, are you not watching?
I absolutely would want them to just bench Matt Ryan the rest of the season, put everybody in bubble wrap and give it up. Absolutely.
So let me go through this tweet real quick. Just and it kind of ties to the point with Dan Quinn and Cleaning House. So shout out to Adagio Jennings, AJ_footballking. He said, thought this was supposed to be about the brotherhood, but you're letting your pride, talking about Dan Quinn, come before that. We have the worst defense in the league, and you that prideful that you're not going to relinquish your play calling so somebody else can do it, because there's a story that came out that said Dan Quinn wasn't going to give up his giving call on the defense. And I said, he cleaned house.
There people could do it, obviously, but...
Well, he said, so I'm like, okay, so he cleaned house, so who exactly is supposed to call the defense? And the homie Tribbles jumped in there as well. And she said, Twitter could hire somebody or whatever. That's not what I want to read. where are my fucking comments? And I was going kind of back and forth with this guy. God dang it, Twitter is wilding. But Somebody talk about Find These Sweets. Hold on.
Yeah, let me. King Quest 710, shout out to you. He's in the live comments. He wants to know what will happen if we lose to the Cardinals on Sunday.
I don't think anybody on this, like main position wise, lasts throughout the bye week.
Okay. All right. I found the sweets. So he said, he's saying to my point of if he clean house, I'm like, who's going to call the defense? He's like the Jalen's point, he said that they have a full defensive staff. His play calling is not working. The season's not completely lost yet. I disagree. So if his play calling is not working, you should try something different. I'm like, again, if I bet on myself and it failed, I'm going out in flames. And then I said, let's say hypothetically he gives up the play calling and things get better. Do you honestly think at this point it's going to save his job? And he responded. So he didn't answer the question. He just responded. So you'd rather let the season go out in flames while leading by example and showing that the brotherhood is for everyone. Show the team that even me, the leader, will also put the team first over self, could help him save his job. I 100% disagree. Like it, I would have to say that, you know, it's like a boxing match where you're getting punched out. You can beat around the ring. Like sometimes you got to call it. And it's looking like they need to throw in the towel. I'm not advocating for the tank or anything like that, but I feel like the season is kind of a lost season at this point. And he was like, you know, I was like, yo, have you watched the game? It's like the season's been gone to flames or whatever. And he's like, our record is 1-4, not over, haven't played any division games yet. If we rock bottom, like you said, only way to go is up. Why not see if something else will work instead of beating a dead horse? Because none of these people are going to be here next year, dog. Like, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, let's say turn around and start putting up 40 points a game and holding teams like 10 points a game. Get all these cats out of here. Get them out of here. Get them out of here.
What's Dan Quinn's contract status?
I think he was extended for 3 years.
Yeah. See, you know what? Y'all going to be stuck, too, because Arthur Blank ain't paying two coaches. So y'all are stuck.
All Uncle Blank got to do is put a hit out on threaten his life.
Okay, the views of Jeff Queen do not reflect the blues of SB Report 706.
It does.
His agency. But, it does. Yeah,
we'll be fine, all right?
If we lose to the Cardinals,
Dan Quinn is going to continue to waste Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
That's been happening. So, I mean, like, they've been getting wasted for I don't know how long now. So, yeah, if you saw King's question, if we lose to the Cardinals, we're just going to laugh. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's all we can do now is laugh about the situation to keep them crying. So,
yeah, the hot takes will be the hottest. Like, Kyler Murray's probably going to look like a Hall of Famer against us. Like, I've already accepted it, man. Like,
I was going to say, because I see Falcons Twitter. I don't see a lot of laughing going on. I don't foresee any laughing coming either if y'all lose this game.
I mean, I've been laughing. Have you not seen my tweets? And then my tweets on the DBNR Twitter? I mean, I think they're funny. So, a lot of people don't think they're funny, but I think they've been hilarious.
So circling back to the Joker movie, which if you haven't seen it, it's not a spoiler, but the man, he laughs. He laughs a lot. But he has like a condition that like he laughs. It's like, you know, some people get nervous and they laugh.
He's got threats or something.
Yeah, he'll be laughing, but it doesn't reflect how he really feels. So like we'll be laughing, but we're really dying inside. Like we're the fans are dying. Like we're laughing, but it's like that meme of the dude with the mask and he's smiling like thumbs up. It's like despair in his face. He's like, fuck, take me now. Take me now, Thanos. Please snap me away.
I'm in danger.
Exactly. That's kind of what's going on. So again, no retreads. Kind of again, and I think I forgot who said it, but it probably someone I listened to. But just at this point, you got to take the risk of trying something new. Again, the whole Lincoln Riley hype train is out there. Whatever, man. Just let's make it work. I don't care who we get, but yeah, in closing, the last thing I'd like to say is just please, Falcons fanatics, just relax. Everybody's not, well, again, that's not
Relax. Okay.
Buy something, buy a substance to relax you, and just chill. Know that change is going to come. Things will be better at some point, but we don't all need to get out these wild hot takes. Like, stop the groupthink. Stay away from, like, the media narratives, because that's kind of what gets you into these positions in the first place. Like, again, I've tweeted this out multiple times. I watch the games on mute because the commentators kind of influence you or paint a story or feed your head with nonsense. Like, watch the game, watch the trenches, watch the players, and observe it with your own eyes. Again, stats are cool. Again, hashtag running what yards per carry is a fake stat, so don't get caught up in that. That doesn't necessarily mean somebody is great. I'm still trying to learn the success rate thing. I don't think
rate is, if I like remember it correctly, is
I forgot what was a good one.
Well, obviously 50% is good, or anything above 50 is good because that's more than half your runs. But I'm pretty sure, like, the way you measure that stat is if you get positive yardage. Even I think you get a bigger boost if you get hit at the line, you get positive yardage. Or, yeah, I think that's how you measure it.
Yeah, right now Devontae Freeman's success rate is second to last at 38. So,
oh, that's just wonderful.
I wonder why. But it'd be crazy if so. He knows this is great because apparently every time he comes into the game, the freaking the defense is automatically doesn't know what's going to happen, which doesn't make any sense. Cough, cough.
We didn't even discuss the defense. But speaking of the defense, Falcons, Kelsey on Twitter. Is that her shit? Yeah, Falcons, mm-hmm. Kelsey. She said True and
Bleedy Ray Wilson
did not practice today. And if they are out, we'll have Kendall Sheffield and Jordan Miller as our starters.
I don't really worry about the Cardinals wide receivers, to be honest. They don't really have much there.
All right, man. Larry Fitzgerald finna cook. He finna have like three touchdowns.
Oh, absolutely. But if you, you let a 34-year-old wide receiver cook you, then everybody who gets cooked by him either deserves to be gone, or, you know, you push my agenda. I don't lose either way.
Yeah.
Julio has a hip injury, but he's always injured.
Yeah.
I think they'll play, though. I think True will play. Bleedy Ray Wilson doesn't get. Bleedy Ray Wilson should have been the one who took over for when Oliver got benched last week. We should have talked about that.
We have not talked about that.
That was funny.
Yo, wow. Yo, Falcons Twitter is out of control. So, everybody's favorite, Falcons beat writer D. Orlando led better. I'm actually one of the few Falcons supporters that aren't blocked by him. He said Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones said the team would see the Joker. And then Kelsey at Kelsey Tay Sutton said, so they went and saw Dan Quinn.
Jesus Christ.
See, you can't compare anything, like, knowing that, like, the Joker, like, how he is in the origin. If you say anything, like, bad about the Joker and, like, a coach, then you're kind of saying good things about them.
Well, I mean, the whole is, you know, the clown.
I understand what you mean, because they're calling him a clown. Yeah, but, you know.
Wait for King Quest to let me know his Twitter @, but I know Marcus saw this. He posted that video with the Denzel Washington and Glory. He talked about how it feels to be a Falcons fan.
That shit was, he was out of pocket. I was like, bro, it ain't that bad, is it? Hey.
Yes.
It is that bad.
It is definitely that bad.
Just taking, like, beatings every week. Every week you get punished.
Y'all have a choice. You have a choice, man. Y'all can leave. Y'all don't have to keep doing this.
Oh, trust me. My thoughts are in writing. Best believe.
Hey, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
I was gonna say the Falcons are. They're not some. They're not some team with a storied history. Like, they're just.
They are.
Borderline. We have a storied history.
Yeah, they are a storied history.
On the
you have a storied history. You have a storied history of being choke artists and coming up short.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's not something that you want.
But it is a storied history.
Yeah.
No one is forcing y'all to be enslaved. this is clearly affecting y'all's mental health. Like,
I'm chilling.
Y'all ain't gonna act like y'all don't see what's going on the timeline, man. Like, your Falcons fans are out of control. Every day. It's just like, it's the thing that's is odd is just like, it's people will, sports commentators and media members will get on, you know, TV or on Twitter, and they'll say something about the Falcons, and it's just like, all of them, like the entire Falcons Nation just comes over and just starts berating these people. And I'm just like, do you care about this person's opinion? Do you respect this person's opinion that much that you feel the need to like motherfuck them to hell? Like, why can't you just ignore them? Like, y'all validate everyone's opinion about the team, and it's just going to drive you crazy.
And this is where you have to stay away from the media narrative. And you know what? You guys got a couple more minutes.
Yes.
I'm don't got nothing to do.
All right. Real quick, shout out to the homie who posted that. It is the Shogun of Atlanta at Quest 71084. Go follow him. He rocks with the Dirty Burn Nation Report and the Committee Podcast. So definitely throw him a follow. So
don't tell me what to do.
And I kind of missed this, but I heard y'all talk about it last week. Like, and this goes to Marcus's point with the fans, like they are out of control. Like, what was the whole thing with fans DMing players?
Yeah,
I didn't. Like, was there any specific like threat that was put out, or like I never heard the details of that. I just know that my favorite fourth string wide receiver Justin Hardy was giving people smoke, I guess, or want to throw people hands. Like,
so yeah, because people were DM him talking shit about his like mom and shit, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, they were threatening families and stuff like that to multiple players, not just Hardy. Even Hardy's mom apparently has a Twitter and has been getting into fights with multiple people that talk about her son.
I've talked to his mom like two times before, bro, and she's the sweetest lady ever, bro.
Yeah, but she's handing out smoke to anyone who talks bad about her son. So, yeah, they're out of control. Like, I mean, I added Alfred years ago, but I didn't threaten him till after he blocked me, but you know, that was a different story. But yeah, they're threatening people and players so bad to the point that KZ, what did KZ do? Oh, the Falcons page was like Instagram, I think, was like, oh, we're giving away 5 pictures, and KZ was one of them. And KZ was like, no, take my picture down. You're not going to give it away. Like, that's how pissed off the fans have made the players.
Yeah, that's just so uncalled for. What point would you want that to happen to you? You mess something up at work, something, and everybody's coming, like, sending death threats to your family. Like, come on, bruh. That's like, that just annoys the fuck out of me. Like, there's no point in that. Those are professionals. Those are people who are playing a literal game that have no meaning to you or anybody else on any part of the world. Half the world doesn't even know this sport exists. And you're over here sending death threats, hoping people die because you were stupid enough to be a fan of them? Come on now.
Yeah,
that's just for any sport. Like, being fanatics is the stupidest, the greatest stupid thing the world has ever done. Like, you
at some point, the natives of Atlanta need to move on. Because it's just like, it's a never-ending cycle with them. It's like, all right, I'm super excited for the Falcons season, and then you shit on yourself. Oh, well, the Georgia Bulldogs are going to pull up, nothing. Oh, the Atlanta Hawks, nothing. The Braves, nothing.
Okay, nobody said that about the Hawks until...
Okay, you're
not... Relax on my Hawks, okay?
Okay, I was about to say, people are talking about Trae Young like he's about to be an all-star, and like the Hawks are going to the playoffs. I'm seeing these... Like, I'm not making this stuff up. There are people on the timeline like,
we got the Hawks. I mean, before Trey came.
Oh, trust me.
I'm talking about recently.
No, even before Trey, even while Trey came, I trust me, I've gotten blocked by a bunch of people on Hawks Twitter. I've gotten blocked by a bunch of people on Falcons Twitter because I'm trying to, you know, keep everybody level-headed. Because again, we have no control over this. We're literally watching the game. We're not playing in it. We're not paying for, well, some people are paying for like them to do better, but we're not paying. We're not paying their salaries for the most part. We're literally just there to support, and we're getting extremely mad about it. That sounds like abusive parenting.
It's a toxic relationship that we have with this.
Yeah, team. Like I saw someone that had their baby in like in a Falcons onesie. I'm like, why are you putting that on that baby? Like, let that baby make his own choice. Don't force the Falcons.
No, whoa.
At the end of the day, at some point, at some point, historically speaking, the Falcons might be the worst sports city like ever. Like, it's pretty bad.
We're not racist.
We're talking history.
I wouldn't say that.
Like, we're talking like all the current stuff. It's pretty bad.
Nah.
No.
Outside of that, like 90s.
I wouldn't say that either.
Ray, you were wrong.
I'd put it in the top five.
I wouldn't say that either.
Let's move on.
I mean, I'll give you top 10. I'm not saying.
I'm putting it in the top five. It's like Atlanta, Cleveland, Minnesota.
Okay, Atlanta, Minnesota has been awful in everything. Atlanta is like big spots where they before they continually shit on themselves.
Minnesota anyway, got four Super Bowls in a row.
Yeah, but let's not judge that based off Falcons Twitter. Like, Twitter is a very small part of the equation. It's not that doesn't represent. I feel like Twitter probably represents the worst of the fan base, to be honest.
The vocal minority.
Yeah. So again, if you rock with this, like, just don't retweet stupid stuff, please. Just mute them, block them. Like, because when you retweet it, other stupid fans feed off it, and then they're like, "Oh, this is right. Oh, this narrative is right." Blah 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 blah. I don't watch football. Blah 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 blah. Trade Matt Ryan. Blah 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 blah. Mike Vick is better. Blah blah. Like, just don't.
Okay, but what,
just get that shit out of here.
Okay, because you said something earlier. What is the narrative about the Falcons team that's out there that is false? Like, what narrative is?
Oh no, it's not that it's false. I'm just saying it changes though, because again, before the season started, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world and whoever watches all those garbage programs at ESPN are boosting the Falcons up to be this great contender, and they're going to win the NFC South, and the fans eat that shit up. And then when they start being trash and they turn on them, they're like, "Oh, well, now this is the narrative." If you would keep it even and evaluate the roster honestly and look at what you see, as opposed to what people tell you to think and hear, then you won't be so up and down and so wild and so rabid when things don't go the way they should. And then just start attacking players and wilding out. Just keep it even. Like, just keep it even.
I think it's cute that you said what narrative when it's definitely like multiple narratives out there.
And that ties to the Vic Beasley thing. Again, Vic Beasley didn't appear on the stat sheet. So now Vic Beasley is back to being garbage. He's played good the entire season outside of that one game, but all they can get past is like, "Oh, Dan Quinn tied himself to Vic Beasley. That's going to get him fired." Like, he's had one bad game. Go through the rest of the roster and look at all the other players that have had bad games. Like, just keep the same energy.
He's probably the third best edge on the team. I might even give him the second best edge on the team all season besides that one game.
Yeah, and that's like, he's not been that's
awful the entire season.
But again, to the Twitter people that just don't like him and want to push that narrative because somebody on Twitter, ESPN said it, like, that's just what it is. Like, watch football. Just watch the game. Don't listen to people. Put your blockers on. Just listen to us. We'll try to keep you on track, man. But again, that's really all I got. Appreciate y'all rocking with us. Definitely, since the stream apparently works, invite your homeboys, invite your homegirls to the stream. We'll probably try to project when we'll do a stream so you guys can jump in and we can answer stuff in real time. So we appreciate y'all checking us out. Jalen, closing words.
You did my usual shout-out of Aaron. Shout-out Alan this week. Everybody should go follow Alan _ STRK for the usual great content. And that's pretty much it. I don't shout anything else out.
Don't tell me what to do. Jif, do you have any shout-outs?
What? It's GIF. I don't care what that dead man says.
every time you say Jif, I just think of some old guy with a very long beard. I don't know why.
Because he probably is. It's GIF. First of all, shout out to Josh, who got his lip busted while playing fantasy football. He's killing.
That's so an intensive fantasy football league that you're throwing hands, but
listen, okay. It's like he actually does flag football or something.
Yeah, they have. You said fantasy. That's why I was joking.
I did.
Yes, you did.
It's late.
Yeah. Look. They had Calvin Ridley on their team, so they had to let off in frustration some way.
So,
he's killing. Fight Club. We need to start that.
Y'all are crazy. But look, Twitter people or Reddit, wherever you're listening from, and whoever you keep fighting with on these fucking apps, listen, just block and mute people like I do. I call it a Falcons fans purge. Purge them. Make your life easier. Mute them if you have to. My timeline has been way more peaceful since I do that almost on a weekly basis. Y'all are fighting each other every week for what? For what? Y'all don't have the answers. Like, y'all think y'all have the answers, but y'all don't. So cut it out. Shout out to him. Shout out to the Committee Podcast. Of course, y'all need to listen to them every Monday. Those episodes be dropping. Shout out to Breeze for finally bringing his ass back on this podcast. It's been like, I don't know, 10 years, like, since you've abandoned me and left me alone with these people. You know, Jalen and Josh be attacking me all the time and leaving me alone with Tony. Do you know what it's like to record with Tony and Josh alone?
You deserve it.
First of all, if anybody would have ever asked me to join, I would be fine to come on. I have no problem with that. Don't put me into that, Willis.
The tea is hot.
It's horrible.
Marcus. Marcus, do you have any closing words?
I guess that's my shout out. If anybody wants to add me to their podcast, then you know I'm down to join.
No, let's just end it. Don't let Marcus do closing words.
Marcus, closing words. We are a fair and equitable podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say like I didn't see a lot of people picking the right, Falcons.
My guy's looking at
like a lot of games. Like I feel like I was the only one who publicly picked the Falcons to win the NFC South, and I'm going to stick with that prediction. I think they're gonna turn it around this year, and they're going to win the NFC South.
Okay.
Whatever you're smoking, can you send it my way? Because I would like some, too.
Well, all right. Well, Marcus is calling it. You can get in his mentions at Marcus_Sniffles. This is SB Report 706. Definitely follow me, Archie Leach on Twitter. This is the Dirty Bird Nation Report, the unofficial podcast of Falcons Twitter. And we out. Peace.